Welcome to episode 42 of the Life as a Visual Storyteller podcast. My name's Roger Overall. I am a visual storyteller. I'm based in Cork in Ireland. And this is a special episode. You are very welcome to a very special episode of the podcast, because it's the first time on this podcast that there's a guest. There's somebody else. You will not just hear my voice. Big sigh of relief. I have with me somebody who is very experienced in the creative industry. And I think you're going to enjoy what we're going to be talking about. And I certainly hope that you can take from it something that you can apply to your own creative life. So who have I got with me? I've got on the other end of a Skype call, fingers crossed, please Skype gods, do not mess this up for us, because we've been having some trouble, listener, I can tell you that. I've got Karen Marnie of Baba Studio, who is, she's based in Prague. And well, actually, Karen, can you tell us about Baba Studio? What is it that you do?
Baba Studio started in 2002, early in 2002, and we make things, which is, I mean, quite seriously, because we're designers, but we're also producers. In a tiny way, we're manufacturers, and we. We started off making mainly tarot cards. That was the first project we did together for lots of reasons we maybe, you know, won't get into here. I'm a designer. Alex is, my partner Alex Upaloff is a graphic designer. And so we started making tarot cards. Those were very successful. And so we began to get into textiles, because years and years and years and years ago, when I was a teenager, I designed and made and sold textiles. And now gradually the studio has expanded, and we are doing, we've done some books, we do jewellery, we're doing a lot of textiles now, clothing and various other things. We have quite a wide range of products that we sell now.
Can you give a little bit about your background before Baba Studio, because you ran your own agency in London, you work for one of the biggest agencies in the world, and you also sat on the other side of the fence where you were commissioning on behalf of quite a large corporate as well.
That's right. Yeah, I was lucky enough to be on both sides, which actually helps a lot, because I started off on the corporate side. I was BT, British Telecom's first ever design manager of digital media. And so I was commissioning a lot of work. And that really helped when I went into agency work, because you really understand the customer or client point of view, because you've been a client. So, yeah. So, I was, years and years ago, I was an academic. Then I got recruited by BT. I was running a research project for them, and they phoned me up and said, by the way, if you ever get tired of being an academic, and they happened to time it rather well. So I jumped into BT. I became, as I say, a design manager. And then went to work for a very big brand agency. Didn't like that all that much, to be honest. I found large agency work just didn't gel with me very well. And so I left and formed my own agency and worked for, I think, about 6 years running my own agency. Just about all with blue chips. We worked for British Telecom, BT, BA, Reuters, Diageo, ITV, BBC, I mean, basically you name it, and we probably worked for them. And so that was very, very interesting, but it was very much a sort of classic doing web-based and digital-based work for large corporates. And then when we hit the dot-com crash, I thought, well, okay, I've got a choice. I can either do what most people I knew did and take the agency right down to four or five people and keep it going through the down period and wait until things go up again. Or I can just say, okay, this is an opportunity. I'm going to do something different. And I wasn't bored with corporate work, but I felt I'd sort of done what I could with corporate work at that stage. And I really fancied doing something totally different. So I packed everything up and came to Prague, where I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. I just knew it was going to be different, you know. And I met Alex, and Alex turned out to be a very, very good graphic designer of a very particular type. You know, he's Russian, and his work in many ways looked different to what I was used to in sort of London, you know, London, New York kind of, you know, work. He did rather kind of poetic, lyrical, sort of illustration-based work, which I found very, very exciting the minute I saw it. Found him quite exciting too, but that's another story. And so we started a tiny, tiny studio together. And as I say, we began doing tarot cards. So it was a million miles away from corporate.
What made you decide that you would move away from a client-based, and by client-based, what we mean is project work for on behalf of a client, and go more in the direction of a customer relationship where customers are buying from you on a regular basis and you're creating your own audience? What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, it was, you know, I'd love to say I'm a brilliant strategist and this was all worked out. Unfortunately, that's not quite the case. There were some very definite reasons. One was, quite honestly, I felt I'd been advising corporates on how to, you know, market and sell their stuff. And I'd never really marketed and sold stuff, you know, well, not since I'd been a teenager, you know, when I had. And I thought, you know, I would really like to prove to myself that as well as advising other brands, I can build a brand myself. So that was one reason. I really wanted to prove I could do it. The other reason was practicality. You know, that there aren't, well, at that stage, there weren't a whole lot of corporate clients knocking around Prague. I mean, it's a bit different now, but I visited some agencies here and looked at the work and thought, oh, this is a long way from what I understand. You know, they're doing different type of work. I mean, I hate to say it, but they were looking a little dated, the agencies here at that stage. And it just didn't seem, I thought, I'm not going to fit in here. Then the other thing was just, you know, Alex and I are both very interested in fairy tale. It's actually a conversation about fairy tales where we first kind of gelled and realized we really got on. I've been fascinated by fairy tales for years and mythology and stories. And I just wanted to do something around that, which I felt in London, there wasn't much opportunity to do that sort of work. It was very frowned on. It would have been, especially in a corporate context, it would have been seen as, my God, I mean, you know, it wasn't following the kind of beautiful corporate minimalist, you know, sans serif type with the Asian girl jumping in the air. You know, it wasn't doing all that. And I just couldn't have done this kind of odd kind of magic symbolic, you know, very sort of touchy-feely work in a way. I couldn't have done that in London. So I thought, okay, in Prague, of all places, you know, the magic city, at last I can try doing this kind of work. And the minute you're doing that kind of work, you're not going to sell it to a corporate. This may be a little different now because everything's changed and you have Game of Thrones and you have, you know, it's fantasy has become hugely mainstream. But back then, I mean, you could not have sold that kind of work to a corporate anyway. So we really had to begin thinking about going direct to customers. So that's how it began.
So can we talk a little bit about the, I suppose, the stability that kind of setup, when you're focusing on a customer relationship and you're building an audience, compared with the stability of a client-based business, what are the pros and the cons that you can see? Let's talk about the pros first of all of the client-focused business, and then we'll talk about the pros of the customer-based business.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I, you know, I wouldn't advise everybody to jump into doing customer-based work, of course, because there are pros in agency work. Well, there was more money in client-based business, quite honestly, in London. I mean, there definitely was. I was earning more money than I earn now. And you know that's great if the finances of it are very important. It was in some ways quite stable because you build up your relationships with certain companies. You can also, be put on the roster. A lot of large companies now have rosters of design agencies they use. So once you're on a roster and you're approved, then you're reasonably certain to get some work. I like the people in corporates, I have to say. I mean, I know, corporates are seen as, the devil themselves these days, with some justification. But the people in corporates are often really great. I mean, we had some great clients that I really enjoyed working with. And you've got quite big budgets for the work. So, you can have big teams on the work, so you can achieve a lot. So if you're the kind of person who likes doing, big projects, which I at that stage did, then it's great working for corporates because you can have a good sized team. You can have a project that goes on for 2 or 3 months, and it's quite a big achievement at the end of it. So all those things about corporate work are good, and your work gets seen by an awful lot of people, depending on what you're doing. But in many cases, you're talking about an awful lot of users. So that's all the good side. Should I talk about the good side of client-based work, of customer work as well?
Do, yes. So we can balance that out, and then we can talk about some of the downsides as well,
Yeah,
so that
we
people have a good
have
grasp
to do the
of
downsides. Yeah, we'll start with the upsides. I mean, the upsides with customer work are, well, you're much freer because, I mean, you're deciding what you're going to produce and sell to people. It's as simple as that. And we have tremendous freedom now. I mean, we can, to some extent, go off on crazy projects and just decide we really, really like this. We really want to do it, and we do it. And because we know our customers and our customers know us, very often it's fine. It sells, which is brilliant. And we can carry on, and we can really, our work is very niche and very particular. People can recognize it now. And that's something we've been able to do by working direct with customers. I would argue, and some agencies would say absolute rubbish, and I'm sure there's another argument against this, but my argument would be an awful lot of corporate work is quite samey. And although I'm I'm parodying in a way when I say, sans serif type, white space, the Asian girl jumping in the air, there's some truth in that. I mean, it is, there's a certain corporate style which most agencies follow and which we're all absolutely familiar with. Well, when you're working to customers, you don't have to follow any of that. I mean, you can just do your own crazy style. And when you look at a lot of the designers around, you'll see them on Etsy, you'll see them on Facebook, you'll see people doing stuff in small galleries and whatnot. It doesn't have nearly as much of a sameness. It's much more individual. People are able to be very quirky. They're able to develop up their own style and their own interests. So that's a huge advantage of customer-based work. And then the other thing is, I would argue in some ways it's more stable. It's less profitable, but it's more stable. And for instance, if you lose a client, you might lose £50,000 worth of work that year. It can be a big problem. You might have to lay people off. It's a big issue if you suddenly lose a client in an agency, and it's put agencies out of business, as we all know. With a customer, if you lose a customer and they're likely to spend $200 with you that year, I mean, it might hurt, and you might hate it and all the rest, but financially it doesn't really affect you at all. So you, in that way, I think it's much more stable because you've got a, if you're working in agency work, maybe you've got, I don't know, 10 clients. With customers, you've got hundreds or thousands of customers, and so it's a more stable base, and we certainly find we kind of feel more secure doing this work, interestingly.
So security is a big thing, and because we're okay, well, let's talk about some of the downsides then. If we look at the client side of things, and so security can be a little bit of an illusion, I suppose, in a way, if you're working with clients. So certainly if you've got all your eggs in maybe one or two baskets and you've got a big client and then the big client goes away, which you do hear about an awful lot. So that's one of the downsides. What might be the other downsides of the client-orientated business model?
For me, as I've already covered, it was partly not feeling all that much freedom in design, that you really did have to stick to, you know, a kind of a corporate modernism that's expected. Most corporates follow that broad sort of style of design. So that was one big issue. And another issue, honestly, people might argue, I think very few people in corporates corporate agencies would argue with this. The other issue is age. When you're in an agency, they tend to sell quite a lot on having a youthful team, you know? Youth is very, very important in advertising and corporate work. And as you get older, you either have to move into management and become, you know, you move up the floor into consultancy or management or something, or onto the board, and you're less likely to actually be on the design floor doing design work. A colleague of mine once came into the big agency I was working in. He came in one morning, stopped at the door, looked down and said, "Oh my God, where are all the designers over the age of 40? And there weren't any. it was absolutely. I mean, it didn't absolutely hit me until that happened. So there's a real issue as you get older, and I feel I've got much better as I've got older as a designer. I mean, I feel I've got far more experience behind me, and I make decisions better, and I'm braver as a designer. But actually, if you're doing agency work, you're likely to see your work begin to tail off in your 40s, you know, and corporate clients do like to work with young teams. So this is a definite downside, I think.
What downsides are there to the customer-orientated business model then, from your experience? And you've been doing this for that business model now for about 10 years, I think.
Yeah, it's a bit more. We started in 2002, although we started working, we weren't selling anything until about 2003. So it's 13 years or no, 12 years. Yeah. Well, it starts up slower. I mean, when I started my agency, we had a decent turnover and we had very good clients within a year, you know, whereas when you're working for customers, the first, it's slower, you know, the first 2 or 3 years, I don't know. Our first year, I think our turnover was the grand total of $7,000, I seem to remember, which was slightly, slightly scary, because it just takes time, and it takes time to work out how you're going to distribute your work, and it takes time for word to get around, unless you've got, you know, a huge amount of money to put in right at the beginning into marketing, which is how some designers, you know, begin. But we didn't have that. So it's a slow build if you're working to customers. I suppose you could argue that, and again, I suppose it varies, but you're likely to be working with a smaller team. You know, as I say, I used to be working on big projects, quite a big team, you know, 3-month project. Now I'm typically working with 2 or 3 other people. It's all much smaller. I like that, but some people would see that as a definite downside. And apart from that, I'm racking my brains. I can't think of many downsides. I really, really like to have a small studio working direct to customers. I really like it. And I really like the vast majority of our customers are fabulous. Not just good, but absolutely fabulous. And you learn an awful lot from them. They're giving you constant feedback, telling you what they like, telling you what they don't like. And it's... I really like it. I feel very sort of validated in a way. It's lovely when somebody writes and says, you know, I was walking down the street yesterday and somebody grabbed me and said they love my bag and I just wanted to let you know. And it's a real plus as a designer to get that kind of constant feedback, because I guess most designers are, you know, we're all a little insecure. And okay, you might get feedback.
The nature of creative.
It is. And you might get that a bit from a corporate client. Of course, they might say, thank you very much, and I loved it. But, you know, from customers, you have more customers, so you're getting that much more often, and you're getting it from all sorts of different perspectives, and that's a real buzz almost every day, you know. So I'm very pro the customer model, you know, selling direct to customers. And the other thing, sort of crucial to say, is that. You know, I've been around the internet for years and years and years. I was very lucky. I was an incredibly early adopter. I had email at in 1983, I think. I think it was 83. Because my first degree was, my minor was computer science, and I was working in a lab that happened to have very, very good networks. So I was kind of brought up on the internet, and I'm absolutely fascinated by the way the internet has changed things. I think it's changed things profoundly. And 25 years ago, if I'd said sell direct to customers, the immediate response would have been, yes, find, how do you find the customers? And the answer probably would have been largely that you'd have to find local customers, because getting to, you know, international markets would have been quite difficult. And now we sell literally all over the world. I mean, we've sold to, you know, countries that we were really surprised by, where we think, goodness, how did they even get to know about us? It's become much, much easier to build an international client base because of the web. Things are altogether different from how they used to be. So you now actually have the option of doing that. 25 years ago, of course, you still could have done it, but it would have been much harder. Maybe you would have had to be based in a very tourist place, or, you know, it would all have been much more looking at your immediate location physically and thinking, okay, what can I do with this? And now it's not. Now it's much more a matter of, okay, how am I going to get parcels posted to the States quickly? You know, it's become, the logistics of it have become totally different.
Can we just, to round off the topic, just talk about that aspect of it very briefly, the actually finding your audience? Because if you're doing client orientated work and you want to work for corporates, or you want to work for businesses, all you have to do is open up open up a phone book that shows you how old I am. You can Google them, you can get in touch with them, you can find out who you need to talk to, and you can make contact, and you can, it's very easy to identify the company and the person you need to speak with to get in there. When you're building an audience of customers around the world, it must be a little bit harder, because you can't just walk down the street and say, would you like to buy my tarot deck, would you like to buy my book, I have a scarf here, will you, you know. How did you yourselves go about building that audience and drawing them into your sphere?
Well, I'll just very quickly, I would take issue with what you said about it being very easy to know who to approach in a corporate, because when I was a design manager, the mistake I saw more than any other mistake that I saw agencies making was approaching the wrong people. Actually, agencies very, very, very often approach the wrong people. I once had an agency that pitched to me, and they started off, I mean, my title was, you know, design manager for digital media, you know, visual digital media, and or something like that. But I mean, basically, that's what I was doing. And the agency pitched to me, and the first thing they said in the pitch was, do you know anything whatsoever about the web? You know, well, they were straight off the list, you know. It was like, I mean, so agencies, it's not as easy as it seems to know who to talk to. But anyway, going on from that, the answer is the web. I mean, we, you know, you say you can't walk down the street and say, would you like to buy a scarf? Yeah, but you can wander around Facebook and say, look at my scarves. Obviously, people on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else, and LiveJournal. I mean, we started with good old LiveJournal. Nobody even remembers it anymore, but it was kind of pre-Facebook. Obviously, they don't want somebody wandering about just saying, buy this, you know. But if you start conversations and you you show people your stuff in a way that they find positive. I mean, where they're enjoying seeing it, they don't feel, oh God, here's this woman shoving a tarot deck in my face, you know. So you need to make sure you're showing it to people who are interested. You know, people who are interested in tarot will probably love to see your new work. People who've never had any interest will not be too happy if you keep showing them cards. So you need to be sensible, you need to be respectful. And then, you know, you really can get to a very large audience relatively easily with social media. I know it's a sort of standard answer and everyone says social media, but it's absolutely true. I was asked in BT when I was in their research labs years ago what way the web was going to go and what we should be researching into. And if my ex-boss is listening to this, yeah, you know, beat your head against the wall. And I said, you know, people are going to be using it for social stuff. And he said, rubbish, no, we're going to research something else, you know. But it was obvious that it was all about social stuff. You know, if you use social media in a social way, so as I say, you know, if you show your personality, if you show the personality of your brand, because brand is, I mean, that's all brand is. It's really personality and reputation. And if you don't, you don't do sort of inappropriate selling, and you do a lot of like showing people stuff, so it becomes more like, it should feel more like, you know, I used to go down the King's Road on a Saturday in London and I would just window shop, and I just enjoyed the whole experience of going down the King's Road and seeing what the different shops had. And, you know, Facebook should feel more like that. If people are showing their stuff, it should be enjoyable for you to see it. And if it's done like that, then you build up an audience really quite quickly. So it's not there's no black art. I think it's quite straightforward and not all that difficult.
I suppose the one thing is you need to allow for it to take a bit of time before you get traction and before people, I suppose, like you enough and know you enough and trust you enough to buy from you.
Yeah, it does take time, and it takes experience. I mean, it's great when somebody's bought something from you and they are saying to their friends, look at this that I just bought, isn't it lovely? And that takes time, and you do have to, we take customers ridiculously seriously, but you know, we should, because customers have to trust you. They're buying at a distance, and if they don't like it, they have to be able to send it back with no questions, no problems. It hardly ever. We have literally about two or three returns a year. People who haven't liked stuff, so it's brilliant, you know. But they have to. People have to know that they can do that, which is absolutely fair. And they also have to trust, you know, the quality. That if you say this is silk, then it is silk. And if you say this is, you know, handmade, then it is handmade. We're very upfront about how things are made, about the fabrics and materials we use, and the cardstock in terms of cards. And yeah, you build up a trust where people, you know, they feel that they really can relate to what you're doing. And then people will go out of their way to support it. It's quite amazing. But if they believe in what you're doing, there's a sort of a joy in, and I find this with other studios that I buy from, that I watch, there's a kind of a joy in watching people do things creatively. And you can actually get pleasure out of helping to support that. And that's brilliant, you know, and that's another thing that the web really facilitates.
I mean, I could talk forever. I'm sure we could have many, many more conversations about this topic, but I'm going to leave it there for today. But before we end it, Karen, where can people find out about you, about Alex, about Baba Studio, see your stuff, get in touch with you, that sort of thing?
Right. Well, we're on Facebook, so it's facebook.com/BabaStudios, all one word, BabaStudios. I don't know why it's plural there. I do know, actually, but it's a long story. Our shop is BabaStore, BABA-STORE.com. And we've got an EU shop, and we've got an international shop, but the site will direct you to the right one. And get in touch. I mean, get in touch with us on Facebook, because we're always, you know, very happy to chat. And if anything's come up that people would like to, you know, clarify, then you know, feel free to get in touch.
Wow, well, you can't say fairer than that. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. It's been really enjoyable talking about this.